I believe that it is the deepest desire of your heart to do just what that song said. Amen. To stand before the Lord. Your soul completely surrendered. You know, as we move into 2019, the first of a year is an opportunity for us to kind of regroup, evaluate what this past years have been, where we are today, and the direction we want to go. And I believe that song identified the direction that you want to go. And I believe that about you because that is exactly who I am. And the trouble that we see often is, despite our want to, that each year tends to look like the year before. And we find ourselves getting into a cycle whereby we feel stalled out. It's like somebody hit the pause button and it's been extended. It's a cycle that we want to get out of, we want to move from, that we want to move forward in the Lord. Amen. And the scriptures certainly give us reason to do that, as we are told to let go of the things that hold us back, to let go of the hindrances that keep us back, and to move forward in the Lord to Christ Jesus. And for some of us, if not many of us, if not likely most of us, there is just a few areas in our life that seem to get hold of us. It's like a noose around our leg, and every time we try to move forward, it just keeps holding us back. Amen. It's that old three steps forward and two steps back. And these one or few issues in our life, we've tried and tried to surrender these issues. We've tried to let God take control. We've tried to master that temptation. And yet, we're like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. We do the things that we don't want to do. We end up with this dichotomy, our mind wanting to serve and honor God, and yet our body doing the very opposite. And so in these two sermons, last week and this week, we're diving into the issue of temptation. We are opening it up and pulling it out to examine what actually happens in those ever important moments when the enemies of God, be it our flesh, be it this world, be it Satan, whichever enemy is involved, the enemy is drawing and pulling, and the enemy is calling, because the last thing Satan wants you and me to do is to get out of this cycle and to move forward in the Lord and to experience that abundant life and to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ that we know is there, that the Bible promises is there, that we know, that we know, that we know that life exists, but we keep tripping up just before entering in. So what is the strategy of Satan that keeps holding us back? Well, we started last week as we are using Eve as our test case subject. The very first temptation by the serpent Satan that led to the fall of mankind. And as we examine this encounter between evil and mankind, between the enemy of God and the desire to honor God, and we examine this, here's what we found thus far. First of all, that Satan initiated the conversation with Eve, and her first mistake was to listen. She listened despite the fact that she recognized from the very beginning that he was a liar. Has God really said in Genesis 3, has God really said that you can't eat from any of the trees that are in the garden? And Eve was like, no. That is not what he said. So Eve begins by defending God, but more importantly, by listening and staying despite the fact that she knew he was a liar. Secondly, Eve was lured, L-U-R-E-D, by the serpent. What happened in this progression of sin is that Eve listened to his lies, and then she began to doubt herself. She listened long enough and entertained what he said to the point where she began to accept his lies. She was lured into what he had to say. The three points that we'll look at this morning is that after Eve listened, after she was lured, thirdly, she turned and looked at the fruit. Fourthly, she then lusted after the fruit. And lastly, she lost the battle by eating the fruit. Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis 3, verse 6. Again, after Eve listened, after she was lured, she began to entertain the thoughts, the lies. In the progression of sin, the next thing she did was to look at the fruit. I want to ask you this morning to please listen very intently. I just think that from this truth, God may help you and me to identify the areas in our life, in our battles, this very scheme that Satan uses with Eve, he uses with us, and that we can identify where it is that we begin to trip up. Eve listened, was lured, and then she turned and looked at the forbidden fruit. Some may say, you know, that's no big deal. I can look at things and it doesn't affect me. I can go to any movie I want. I can watch any podcast I want. I can watch any YouTube I want. I can get on the internet, check things out. I can look at any magazine I want, and it just doesn't impact me. I've reached a level of spiritual maturity where I can look and not be affected. Well, there would be one man who I know would disagree with you. His name is Job. And God said of Job that he was blameless. He was a man of complete integrity, one of the finest men on all the earth, a man who feared God and stayed away from evil. That was God's rendition of this man, Job. In other words, he's a guy we ought to pay attention to. And in Job 31, verse 1, we are told that Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon a woman with lust. I mean, holy wow. This guy who walked like that song in abundant surrender, one of the ways he found to protect himself and to win in the experience of temptation was to make a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon a woman with lust. This word covenant in its original form means to eat. Isn't that weird? To eat, and later became known as covenant. And what I think Job was saying in the use of this word was, look, I'm not just making a New Year's resolution. Okay? I'm not just making this statement to impress anybody. Job said, this is something that is very deep within me. This is something I have received and has been absorbed into my core. This is a covenant that I have made with my eyes that this won't happen. So was it a big deal that Eve turned and looked? Just in terms of application, I researched some issues related to pornography today. I've been tempted to do this a few times, but I'll tell you, the more I got into it, I didn't want to. For instance, just some general issues that I found in the research is, listen to this. Porn sites today receive more regular internet traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Globally, it's a $97 billion industry. People who admit to viewing porn are 300 times more likely to have an affair. And I could go on and on, but the fact is, when we allow ourselves the entitlement to listen to the lies of the deceiver, to be lured into his web of deceit, it is another progressive step in temptation to then turn and give our attention to the object of our sinful consideration. Please stay with me in this progression and let God apply it. Listening, lured, entertaining, and then turning to see the next step in the progression of temptation. Once Eve looked, she lusted after. The reason for her lust is that she found the fruit good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. It is at this point, in the temptation that lust turns to must. I've never seen this before in the scripture. I've never read it before. I feel like that God opened my eyes for me. That is in the turning and the dwelling on, whether that is an object or a thought or a consideration or anger or selfishness, whatever it may be, when we turn to look, we will be drawn, because that sin will become mesmerizing to us. You know why? Because sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. In our turning to the forbidden fruit, if we give it time, if we turn, look, and give our attention to that object of our temptation, it will captivate us. It will charm us. It will hypnotize us, and lust turns to must. Seed turns to need, and want to turns to have to. This is something we must watch for and be aware of if we're truly trying to conquer temptation or sin in our own life. Listen again or watch again what happens with Eve. Satan makes the declarative, deceptive argument. She can't eat from any of the trees of the garden. Eve stands her ground and she defends God. But as she continues to listen to the serpent's arguments, her pride, her selfishness, just like us, begins to rise. And she turns and looks. And that thing becomes overwhelming to her. That is why we must slam the door at that point. Actually, prior to that point, when we get to the point where we turn and look at the forbidden fruit, that is when we've got to beg the Spirit of God to charge in our mind, and we slam the door right then. Because if we take that next step of observing that the fruit is good for food and pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, and we observe that forbidden thing in our lives, that lust turns to must, and we're dead in the water. There are a couple of sub-points with Eve in this study. One is the snatching of the fruit, and the other is the sharing of the fruit. I use the term snatching of the fruit because in my mind it probably works something like this, that Eve turned and saw the fruit and saw this magical, mystical a drawing that she had to the forbidden fruit, and Satan was inviting her to come along, and she turns and steps out of the shadows and looks both ways, thinking that if no mortal sees her, that she can get away with it. And so she creeps near the tree, checks again that nobody's watching, and she reaches up and snatches that fruit. And then she goes to her husband and says, "Look what I did. Why don't you do it too?" We know this because in Genesis 8 following, that the Lord came calling. And Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking through the garden, and they tried to hide from him. And the Lord said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "I hid from you because I was naked." And the Lord said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I forbade you to eat from?" Adam said, "It was the woman you gave me that brought to me the fruit, and I ate it." There have been those who have tried to say that this was Adam's way to reduce his culpability by blaming Eve. I don't know. It doesn't matter because God severely judged all three. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. Verses 14 through 19, as we look at the last part of this progression of temptation, that Eve lost everything. Verses 14 through 19, God cursed all three involved in the sin, the serpent, the woman, and the man. And the man and woman were cast out of the garden before they had opportunity to eat of the tree of life. But there is one final piece in this puzzle of original sin. And it's found in a little verse in Genesis 3:21 that it's easy to overlook. It's easy just to read through that passage and not realize the consequences thereof. In Genesis 3:21, we're told that also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and he clothed them. Please listen carefully. Adam and Eve could not undo what they did. The original sin, the fall of mankind. This was kind of a big deal. It's had impact through the ages and continues to be foundational in biblical theology, original sin. What Adam and Eve could not undo with regard to the consequences of sin, when they could not adequately cover the shame of their nakedness, God did. God did for them what they could not do for themselves. And what God did after the original sin, what God did was he went out to his flock on a thousand hills. And he took one sheep, one innocent lamb, and the Father took the life of that innocent lamb, and he clothed the nakedness of that first couple. God was good at doing that. Because he did the same thing, as you know, for us. He took his son, his only son, and he placed him on a cross as the Lamb of God. And through him, he clothed our shame. He covered our sin. So that the impact of that original sin upon our lives loses its power. I want to move forward in my life spiritually. I don't want 2019 to be like 2018. I want to get over this mountain, this hill. You see, I know that every person's temptations are different. Some of you, temptation may be to not eat chocolate, to stop biting your fingernails, to treat your family with more kindness, to forgive someone who has done something to you. That may be the temptation that you keep wrestling with. But for others, the temptations have dire consequences. You know that if you keep falling into this trap, you may end up losing your family. If you keep tripping and falling into that hole, and when it's found out, it's going to hurt you deeply. There are some with temptations that if you can't conquer them, Satan's going to take you down. And he's going to ruin you. He's going to ruin your reputation. He's going to harm your family. So yeah, it needs to stop. We need to get over and through this temptation that's been leading to sin that keeps us from moving on. I pray that God will help you to see the steps, the progression that Satan has led in your life so that you can stop. So that you can slam the door and stop.